Good morning. As Ed kind of alluded to, it's a little bit of a different morning this morning. As you can see, none of our elders are here this morning. They are away down at the shore, down the beach, whatever you want, however you want to say it, depending on if you're from Philly or not. They're having fun together, them and their wives, also having some time together just to refocus and to pray together for us as a church and whatnot. So, as they say, as the cat's away, the mice will play, right? I'm kidding. I love my job. Okay. So today, since filling in, I was told just pick anything you want. And I was like, anything I want. I was like, all right, anything I want. And then I was gently reminded that I do have a job here, so make sure it's not anything you want. But we're going to talk a little bit today about peace. We're going to be in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8. Many of you, this is probably going to be a very familiar passage. So we're just going to read through it together in a little while and just go through the verses, verse by verse. But to me, kind of the central image in these few verses kind of surrounds this notion, this ideology of peace. What is peace? How to have it? What does it look like? What does it do for us? All this kind of questions that I would ask myself all the time. So as I sit and, you know, as I have a job with being the youth pastor here, and I think how I can reach the youth that live in this culture as they're growing up, I look at this culture now and I look at this world, and there's so much busyness and there's so much unrest in the world today, and it's like people don't even know how to slow down and be peaceful or be restful or live in peace that much anymore. It's all just go, 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 and it's at times, and Christy's talked about this before too, last time we talked, at times we just need to stop and just rest, just be, right? Desiree said it from the stage last week during the baby dedication, why they named their daughter Selah, pause. And in those moments, right, God can really show up to us and speak to us. So we're going to look about how it looks to have peace in a world full of unrest. So I just want to show you guys a few pictures, all right? So we take a look at this first picture, right? Ah, right, nice and serene, blissful, peaceful, tranquil, right? This nice ripples and this nice beautiful droplet of water, right? Put your mind at ease, right? This beautiful sunset over clouds, over the water, and it's like, oh, you look at that, and you just go, oh, that's nice, right? This is a nice one, right? A lot, right? The beach, how much is the peaceful spot is the beach for people? Oh, yeah, right? You sit in the sand, and you just, you know, listen to the waves, and you can just close your eyes and just listen to everything, right? But then, you know, this is what we want life to be like, right? Just this. I wish we could just set up a chair, just stay there. But instead, life is really like this, isn't it? Right? That. If you ever go to the beach during popular holiday time, right? 4th of July, Memorial Day, whatever have you, any time during the summer at like Atlantic City or whatever, this is what you're going to have. That freaks me out. It stresses me out just looking at it. It's like, what do I do? Where do I go? Like, I want to sit there and look at the ocean. Instead, I'm looking at an umbrella and like tons of things I don't want to be looking at. I want to look at the ocean and the beauty, but I get that. Or how about this, right? Try walking in that if, you know, you're trying to get somewhere, right? If you've ever worked in the city, maybe lived in the city, maybe even in New York City too, which is much more populated. They walk everywhere in New York City, in most cities like that where you are working, and it's just getting through that, trying to get to work, or trying to walk nice and leisurely, and you're bumping into this person, you're bumping into that person, and it's like, oh, excuse me, right, and it's just kind of like squeezing through, and I hate large crowds of people around me, so I like to try to find my path through people and get through as much as I can. That stresses me out too, right? And then how much times is life like this, right? Busy, stressed, help, time, rush, laundry, breakfast, drowning, eat, buy, maxed out, dinner, mom, dad, kids, yelling, crazy, crying, right? Everything's just a jumbled mess, Right? So we want this and this, but most often life looks like this. Right? And we want to say, how can I get to the peace? How can I get to the first few pictures? And we go, okay, let me try to have peace, right? And most often, the reason why it doesn't always work for us is because we do this. Come on, peace, I don't have all day, let's go. Come on, inner peace, I want peace, let's go, let's have peace. I'm good, okay, I'll sit here for a minute. Okay, come on, peace, come on, I'm still feeling, come on, peace. Life's still like this. Come on, why am I peaceful now? Right, but that is just a mind, your mind's not at rest. Your mind's still going a million miles a minute. Right? So how can we have peace in a world full of unrest? Even in a life full of unrest? That is kind of what we're going to be talking about today, how we can attack that, how we can battle that, and what some of those things look like. But before we move on, I want to show you guys a quick video. So for those of you who don't know, this is Kung Fu Panda 2, right? So the whole first movie, this guy Po, he kind of haphazardly became the dragon warrior that this whole prophecy was supposed to foretell, and he wasn't supposed to be. Long story short, the dragon warrior really is just believe who you are, right? And you, if you want to be the dragon warrior, be the dragon warrior, so on and so forth. The whole second movie, though, is Po's journey on finding peace and how to live with peace, finding inner peace within himself. Now, what I want to say about this is there's a lot of Eastern ideologies on inner peace deal with meditation, right? And meditation is, in and of itself, is fantastic, right? Because the Bible, even in Psalms, tells us to meditate on the Word, right? And to meditate on the grace and the goodness of Jesus Christ. But in most Eastern ideologies, the meditation, what it is centering yourself to yourself, right? To try to find, whether some call it nirvana, some call it inner peace, others may call it to find enlightenment. I am sorry. The word just flew right out of my brain. Obviously, I don't am not enlightened right now, right? So some call it nirvana, some call it enlightenment, some call it inner peace. But it's centering yourself to yourself to find within yourself peace, right? Which is a good concept. However, for us, as we're going to talk about it today, as I believe, I can maybe have a small moment of peace if I center myself to myself, but that's not everlasting peace, right? For us to attain true peace, we need to center ourselves to Christ, right? And that's what this passage in Philippians is going to show us, is going to deal with, is how we can center ourselves to Christ, right? So as we meditate on the Word, we're meditating on the grace and the goodness of Christ and what He has done for us, right? And the work He's done on the cross for us. So we're not centering ourselves to ourselves, because, in all honesty, we deceive ourselves all the time, right? But what we want to do is be able to center ourselves to Christ and see how that can lead to true peace in our lives. So if you have your Bible with you, device, if you want to open up, if you haven't yet, to Philippians 4, we're going to read verses 4 through 8. So here we go. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Excuse me. So let's put some situational context to this in the first place. So if you had to venture a guess at where Paul was writing to the Philippians, where was he at this time? In prison, in jail, right? So if you take a look at Paul's life, his journey, right? First off, he starts out by being, he's a Pharisee, right? And his whole mission was to kill Christians, right? Because that's what he thought his mission was to do until God showed up to him at the road to Damascus, right? And showed him that what he wanted him to do was not kill Christians, but be the message bearer of the good news of Christ to the Gentile nation, right? To those who were not of any standing whatsoever in Jewish eyes, to the Gentile nation. So then if you continue in Paul's life, he had so many hardships in his life, right? Many times he was shipwrecked, right? He was on an island by himself. He was imprisoned multiple times. Ultimately, he was martyred. All right, so here's Paul writing to the church in Philippi, some final encouragement and exhortations, and he's currently in jail, and the very first word he writes is rejoice. Rejoice. Right? A common theme throughout the book of Philippians, and quite honestly, most of Paul's writings when he's writing to his churches is about rejoicing, having joy in the Lord in circumstance. So the first word he writes here is rejoice in verse 4. Remember the circumstances of him being in prison, right? But then the next three words are very important too, and it says, in the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's coming from a man who's in prison and has had umpteen things happen to him in his ministry. And he has the wherewithal to sit there and encourage this church in Philippi to rejoice in the Lord always. Right? This is a mindset. All right. This is the start of centering yourself in Christ, in the Lord, rejoicing in him always, because everything comes from him. Verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Gentleness, being one of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Youth, we learned about the fruit of the Spirit last year. Right, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, right? Gentleness is right in there. Right, so gentleness is so interesting. It's a having a gentle spirit, having a spirit of humbleness, right? Being gentle, so gentleness. So have your gentleness be evident, for the Lord is near, right? So this is a continual, listen, you want to be gentleness, you want that to be evident, the Lord is near, continue to be in him. Because the only way that we can attribute ourselves the fruit of the Spirit is to be one with the Holy Spirit, is to be in communion with Christ in our life, is to be living in Christ, living with the Holy Spirit in mind. So let your gentleness be evident to all. And then verse 6, do not be anxious. Now that's a pretty tall order, right? How many get anxious, right? Anxiousness is, it's quite possibly one of the easiest things to fall into when you're in life, right? And I'm not necessarily talking about anxiety. Anxiousness could be like, oh my goodness, I want to ask my girlfriend to marry me, so I have to talk to my father-in-law about that. And if you ask Steve about this, I tried doing it like three times. Like, we went golfing one time, and I just couldn't do it. He knew what I was going to do. I couldn't do it. And then we went to Dorney Park one time, and I was feeling sick all day because I still couldn't do it. And, like, he didn't go on a roller coaster and sat next to me on a bench when everybody else did because he knew I wanted to ask him, and I couldn't do it. So at one point, we were hanging out, and he was like, "Can you just ask me already?" I was like, "All right, fine, I'll ask you," right? But I was so anxious to the point where I was making myself feel sick, right? My stomach was in knots. I had a migraine. I was like, I can't do anything, right? Because I was so anxious, right? It could be anything. Students anxious of a big test coming up or a big paper, right? Those who are working, maybe you have a big work deadline coming up or you have a big presentation you have to make, right? Anxiousness is something that we all feel often, right? And sometimes anxiousness can lead into debilitating anxiety, right? And that's something we'll talk about a little bit later, just briefly. But Paul here is encouraging us, is do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, right, with prayer, petition, and thankfulness, present your requests to God. This here, straight up, Paul's saying, listen, be in communication with God. Be in communion with Him. Whatever it is, in every situation, nothing too small, nothing so big that you can't, and anything in between, with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, just present your request. Just talk to Him. Just open up your mouth and just talk to your Creator. Right? Because that's establishing relationship, right? Just like talking to a best friend. Just like you would pick up a phone. Oh man, I got in a fight with my girlfriend today. I don't know what to do, right? Oh, I got in a fight with my friend today. I'm not sure what's going, how we can fix this. Can you help me? Right? Same way you would go to a best friend or a parent for advice. Same way we have communication with our Father, with our Creator. And that's establishing relationship, and it's establishing a connection, a communion, which helps us be able to make sure we're centered with God, we're centered with Christ in our life, making Him number one. And then we get to verse 7, in my opinion, the money verse. All right. It starts off with a little three-letter word, and. Right? Seems very small. But this word, it's a transition word. Right? So we have the first three verses, and then we say, and then we see and. Right? So it, to me, denotes a type of cause and effect relationship between the first three verses of rejoicing in the Lord always, letting your gentleness be evident, and then with prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, presenting all our requests to God, if we're in full communion with Him, it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the only true peace is one that comes from living in Christ. And that's a tall order to say, and we'll unpack that a little bit in just a few moments. The only true peace is one that flows out of an intentional relationship with Christ. A communion relationship. One that we have with Him. We're rejoicing in Him. We're going to Him in every situation. We're making Him number one in our life. It will guard our hearts, right? Earlier in Scripture it says that out of the mouth the heart speaks, right? And then it will guard our minds, right? The quickest way to get your heart in a bad place is through your thoughts. Your mind, your thoughts is kind of what drives your body, drives how you react, how you act, right? Paul Tripp stood up here a year plus ago and said that when we wake up in the morning, we're the first person that we talk to. Ourselves, right? As long as you don't answer yourself, he said, right? But you can be the biggest gospel bearer to yourself is yourself, right? So what are you saying to yourself? about who you are in Christ, about who Christ is in your life. It's setting your mind on Him. This is what Paul is talking about in Romans 12:2, when he says to transform our minds. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but transform your minds. It's to have a mindset focused on Christ day in and day out, moment after moment. And this is how we help center ourselves to Christ, to find that peace that surpasses all understanding. There's a, as I was studying this specific verse, verse 7, the phrase that Paul uses to guard your hearts and minds was very interesting to me, so I looked into it a little bit more. So in Philippi, I was reading that most of the men that were in Philippi were most likely retired military personnel. So when Paul used this phrase, guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus, it was akin to as a soldier would be guarding something, right? So imagine a soldier or a sentry, there's probably two or three that would always be posted around the king's tent, right? To protect the king from anything coming at it, right? So that's what a soldier would do. So think of peace in the same way, as peace is like the soldier that is guarding our hearts and our minds for what is trying to come and take it, what is trying to come at it. So this is how we're talking about what the peace of God is and how and why that type of peace is what transcends our comprehension, our understanding, because it comes from Christ, in Christ alone. And then verse 8, here everything in verse 8 to me points straight to some type of character of who Jesus is, right? So finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, well, that's true of Jesus, whatever is noble, Jesus, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, again, right here it says, think about such things, right? Or meditate on such things. Again, reinforcing the fact that your mind and your thoughts are important to how you act and react and how you think and how you live day in and day out. And all these things that he lists to me fully represent who Jesus is. So to fully think on Christ in our lives and making him number one and central is a key to trying to achieve this peace that we so often want in our lives. So as we end up this morning, just a few more things we're going to talk about, one more video that we're going to show in a moment. We're going to talk about some practical ways of maybe how it looks like to live in peace, or at least ask some questions to make it us think about what it looks like to live. There's so many things in our life that we let become distractions that pull our focus away from Christ, that pull our focus away from allowing ourselves to live in the peace that Christ wants to give us. Some things are very real that happen, and that's okay. But what we want to learn how to do is to be able to live in peace while life is still chaos around us, because it's okay to do that. Right, so my son Ethan plays soccer. He has one more game left this coming Saturday. And he plays soccer is more, it's an exaggeration, because what he does is he looks at everything else around him, and then the ball will like come right by him and hit him in the shin, and then like he'll go and pick up a flower. This literally happened. He picked up a flower, ran all the way across the field to where Jess and I were sitting, gave it to Jess and said, I picked a flower for you. We were like, oh, but you need to play the game. You're like, you're in the field. Like, go hit, suck, kick the ball, right? So it's like, oh, that's so sweet. But you're supposed to be playing soccer right now. Or he's like looking at the clouds Or he's like sitting inside the net. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? You are so distracted. He is so distracted by everything. A bird, a butterfly, the clouds, somebody else playing on a playground. And it's just like the kids are running around him. And he's just like this stationary pole. We're like, Ethan, kick the ball. And then he looks at us for the first time when he says his name and the ball goes right by him. It's like, dude. Remember how many times so much in life are we kind of the same way? Right? Christ is like, I want this for you. I want you to live in peace. I want you to be able to live in me. And he's calling to us and he's saying, it's right here in front of you. And we're like, huh? Oh, look at that. Money. Fame. Popularity. Girlfriend. Boyfriend. Wife. Husband. They're awesome. But wives and husbands shouldn't go before God either. Right? How many times do we let everything else, the shininess of life, distract us from what is right in front of us that God wants to allow us to live in? There's two things. Peace. Three things. Peace, joy, and grace. In my opinion, that God wants to give us freely every day of our life. Why isn't it then that we accept that? It's like we don't feel like we're allowed to live in grace. It's like we don't feel like we're allowed to live in peace or live with joy. He wants to give it to us. But it's like we're like, oh, okay, I guess I will, but I don't know how to. I don't know if I am allowed to. Or I don't know if I'm worthy enough. Stop it. Stop letting the busyness, the shininess of life distract us from what Christ wants us to live in, to live in him, to live with this peace that he wants to give us. It's so difficult, though, because sometimes we're trained in our brains to think, oh, well, I have to get everything right in my life before I can be peaceful, before I can live in peace. I have to get everything in order. I have to plan everything out minute by minute before I can live in peace. Because in our minds, that means that we've actually done something to earn it. But Christ is saying, no, just live in me and you can have this peace that I want to give to you that will guard you, will guard your hearts, and will guard your mind. I want you to be able to live in it. And I want to tell you guys, I mean, I could be wrong on this, but I think it's okay to live in peace, even when life around you is not peaceful. Even when things are crazy and going nuts in your life, I don't think that it's a prerequisite that you have to be okay to live in peace. Because you know what peace is? It's saying that no matter what is going on in my life, no matter what my situation or my circumstance is, whether it's very real, and I'm not saying it's not, but whatever it is, peace says that I trust my Lord and my Savior with it. Regardless of what I can do. Because if I try to do it, I'm going to mess it up. But we want to make it all nice and neat and then say, okay, God, I'll live in peace now. No. Because then when that one little thing goes out of order, there goes your peace. Because you set it up. But God's okay with mess and with life. So we can live in peace when life is nuts and when life is crazy. Because peace says, I know what's going on around me. I know it sucks and I know it's hard and I know it's dragging me down, but my God, my Savior, has me. and I can rest in that. It may not feel like you can, but you can. You can live in that peace when everything feels like it's falling down around you. Because we can't lift ourselves up. We can't fix ourselves. We can't center ourselves to ourselves. Because when we do that, it all falls apart. When we center ourselves to temporal things like friends, like family, money, possessions, status, what happens when they all go away? There goes your peace. There goes your security. Right? There goes your joy. You put your joy in your money, you lose your money, there goes your joy. You put your security in friends, when they turn their back on you, well then there goes your security. When you put your peace in things that will fail you, when they fail, there goes your peace. But if you put these things in Christ, in God who is everlasting and never changing, then things can be coming down around you, but you're not going to lose your peace. You're not going to lose your joy because it's tied up to the cornerstone of our life, which is Christ. That's what he came down to die for. To die for all that the sin that entangles us. It's what he came down to shed his blood for, to be the sacrifice for us. So that then we can now have that relationship with our Creator. So that we now can live in the peace that is given to us. And trust me, I don't do well with living in peace. But the times that I have, this isn't a cop-out. I literally can't really explain it to you because it really does surpass our understanding because it is something that is so divinely given to us in those moments that the only thing we can do is literally just rest in it and accept it and let it flow over us and just say, thank you, God. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's the only option we have. Because that's how divinely peace can intervene for us and how we can live in that in the midst of life. I get it. Life's crazy. And I'm not here to say life is easy because it's not. And it's not easy to live in peace either. It's not easy to live in joy. But these are mindsets that what it takes is training our minds to do it. It takes transforming our minds like we've talked about in Romans 12, 2. It takes looking at whatever is right, noble, pure, true, trustworthy, praiseworthy. It takes falling on our knees and with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, crying out to God, knowing that with all of that, then will come this peace. And it's not just those are checklist things to do to get peace, but it's because those things require us to be in communion with our Father, to center ourselves to Christ, and let Him be number one in all aspects of our life. Not just 98% and this 2% I'll keep for me. In all aspects. And that's when we can live in peace, even when life doesn't feel like it's worthy of peacefulness. So I ask you two things to end with today before Leo comes back up. What are your distractions today that pull your eyes from focus on Christ? Because quickly, if we go back to that soldier analogy, right? Say that soldier that's guarding the king lets his focus be drawn from his duty in that one moment, anything can happen to that king. Disaster can come. And I'm sure we all know that that can happen in our lives because it's probably happened. The moment we let focus be drawn off of our Lord is the moment that we get drawn into things that wreck us, destroy us. So what are your distractions today? and what is pulling your eyes away from Jesus and the peace that resides in him and living in him. Because the only true peace is that which comes from the living Christ. And the hope is the fact that he gives that to us freely. And we have this Holy Spirit inside of us, and it allows us to live in Christ day in and day out. But it's a mindset. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you now, Lord, and we thank you so much just for who you are in our lives, Lord. And we want to be able to sit here, and we want to be able to rejoice in you always, and we want to be able to live in your peace. And please help us with that, Lord. Please help us understand that we can still live in peace when life is chaotic. Because what true peace is knowing that you have us. And that no matter what happens, we will trust you and we will be faithful to that. And that you have a plan for what's going on. So we thank you, we love you, and we pray all of this in your name. Amen.